return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Tonight, we got Deb Colswick's going to share the Word of God, so we're so glad that she's here. Steve, good to see you as well. You've had a busy week driving bus, I'm sure, so... let's welcome Deb, all right, as she comes to share tonight. Amen.
Surprise, surprise. You were all expecting Alex, weren't you? We sat just right, not reverberating. All right, Jesus, we love you, we love you. We just want you to know we're celebrating your goodness. We're celebrating your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord.
We're celebrating your extravagant love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing that breaks the yoke, lifts the burden, for the oil flowing from heaven. Ooh, I'm in agreement with that word flow. Even tonight, yes, Jesus. The Bible says that the Father anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. And thank you, Lord, that whatever flows in Jesus flows in me.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank
amen.
You,
so we're speaking tonight. The title is Yours Great Joy? So the Bible has a few dramatic words to use about this joy that's ours in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Words like the one used in the Psalms. Fullness of joy in his presence.
Amen.
Fullness of joy. James calls it pure joy.
Yes.
And that was talking about trials, tribulations, problems. Anybody having a few troubles lately? The Bible says it's pure joy in the middle of it all.
Amen.
Peter called it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul, in the book of Romans, calls it all joy.
Yes.
And the Passion translates that as uncontainable.
Yeah.
Uncontainable joy. So, honestly, when you hear a few of these, oh, and I forgot to tell you about why I titled it Great Joy. When the angels came to announce Jesus' birth, they said, we got some good news for you, which is going to bring great joy.
Great joy.
You know, great joy, we think, well, great clips, great plane zoo. Great, that's not such a big deal. But in the Greek, it's the word mega. We're talking about a whole, huge, enormous amount of joy that was released on the earth when Jesus came. So honestly, do any of these words describe you? If you look in the mirror, do you think about fullness of joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory? How about if we interviewed your family or your neighbors or your coworkers? Would any of them use words like pure joy? Uncontainable joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How about when you look in the mirror, do you see radically happy? I read this declaration the other day that made me stop and think. It went like this. I am a high-level joy carrier. Whew, and I thought, now there's a kingdom reality I want to step into. So that's a good one to write down and start speaking, friends. The thing is, I'm not sure we really value joy. I mean, for most of us, I think it's number 25 on our list, or 55. Do we truly value joy? Do we understand that it's our strength? It's our load-bearing capacity is in direct proportion, friends, to how much joy we have on the inside. So I want to encourage you tonight to pursue, to fight for, because it's going to be a fight, I guarantee you. It's going to be a fight. Fight for, pursue, possess it, and then hold on tight when you get it to joy.
Yeah.
I mean, every believer I know sees themselves radically happy the day, the minute, the hour they step into heaven. Am I right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way your imagination works?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every believer. But friends, we don't need strength at the end of the battle. We need it right now in the middle of the fight.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
For a whole lot of us, our weariness, our tiredness is because we've exchanged our strength for different things like offense, anger, worry about what other people are thinking. And we've gotten a little passive about this fruit of joy. Pastor Dave preached the last couple of weeks on the fruit of love. I think Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. A lot of scholars say all those other things are just expressions of love. They aren't just separate fruits hanging on the tree, which I guess I wouldn't mind if I had joy hanging and peace and gentleness. But they're all expressions of this joy. I mean, excuse me, of love. Because if we really knew it, understood it thoroughly, how extravagantly we're loved and provided for, I think joy would just kind of tag along.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be showing up in our lives, truly.
Amen.
Do you realize the very words of God, the Bible says, are full of energy? Energy. The Bible says that if we just consider His loving kindness, it results in energy, strength. There's a quickening. David prayed it like this. Quicken me with your loving kindness. Quicken me with your word. There's an energy that flows just getting into the word of God. So here's reason number two why I want you to value. Why God wants us to put a value on joy. The second one is Proverbs 17:22. The New King James puts it like this. A merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart. I mean, there's scientific proof out there now. A little bit of laughter. A little bit of joy and gladness reduces the pain, any pain that you're experiencing. It reduces stress. It boosts your immune system. Yeah. And I didn't include it, but my life verse, Proverbs 15:15. This changed my life. I don't know if you want to pull it up, if you can, but I've got it memorized. It says, for the afflicted, every day is evil. All the days of the afflicted are, well, this is interesting, wretched, are evil. I mean, we can look at life like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh no, another problem, another trial. Yeah. Oh no, when it rains, it pours. I mean, we can look at life like that. Or the rest of the verse says, he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. We can live either way.
Yeah.
And I've chosen, hey, I'm living in a continual feast. I'm going to enjoy my Savior. Here's the third reason to pursue, to fight for joy. Probably the biggest reason, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. It says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Salvation is an all-inclusive word, friends. You ever stayed at an all-inclusive resort? Ooh, it includes everything. Salvation includes protection, it includes prosperity, it includes wholeness and health and healing. It includes rescue and deliverance and forgiveness. I don't know what you need tonight. A little word of encouragement, a job, some wisdom, some direction, healing touch. Whatever you want from the wells of salvation, it's best drawn with the bucket of joy.
Yeah.
I mean, we get so used to approaching God with these tears. Yeah. I mean, and He's not going to send you away if you come like that. Definitely not. Or sometimes we come in despair because we've tried all the other things, right? Oh, I'm in despair. I got to have you, God. Try coming with the bucket of joy. Here's the way the Passion puts it. With triumphant joy, you will drink deeply from the wells of salvation. Wow, wow, wow. Come on.
Yeah.
Think again. How do we approach our Father? How do we approach Jesus? We want to let down our bucket with triumphant joy. Hallelujah. In that glorious day, the Bible says. Now, what glorious day are they talking about? Again, we all have, it's heaven. It's all about heaven. No, I believe the glorious day is the day that you believed that you received and you got glad about it. Isn't that what Mark 11, is it 24 that says? Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you received it. Well, the best way to believe to actually that you received it is to get happy about it. Amen. Yeah? Amen. To rejoice. Then it says, in that glorious day, you will say to one another, you'll start talking about it. Come on, you, join me. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's ask Him for bigger things yet. Hallelujah. Tell the world about all that He does. Amen. Let Him know. Let them know. Let's tell everybody how magnificent He is. Yes. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done marvelous wonders, and let His fame be known throughout the earth. Give out a shout of cheer. Sing for joy. I'm waiting for some worship services around here where people will start shouting. Hallelujah. And singing. Maybe dance a little. Get happy. Yeah. Sing for joy. I mean, that's a command from heaven, friends. You're not going to feel it to start with, I promise. Sing for joy, O people of Zion. That phrase, Zion, friends, always refers to the kingdom realm. And I'm telling you, there's joy in the kingdom realm. In fact, Romans 14, 17, I know I gave you that verse for later, but it talks about the kingdom of God being righteousness, peace, and joy. That's one third of the kingdom is joy. One third of the kingdom. Thank you. Whew. You know, the rest of the world thinks it's all in eating and drinking, right? It says right here, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's all the world has to hold on to. Let's go have a good meal. Let's have a drink or two so we can get happy. That's all they know. I remember I tell people that I'm just drinking of the new wine, and they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah. The wine of the Holy Ghost. That's what will make you glad. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to Isaiah. And just finish that little passage there if we can. Oh, people of Zion, sing for joy, for great and mighty is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. Glory to God. So we're going to look now at some of these dramatic words I was sharing with you and just unpack them a little bit. Let's go to Psalm 16:11. Marvelous passage here. This is King James. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, Bill Vanderbush, I wrote down his quote that day. He said, if you're not outrageously happy in the presence of God, you might not be in the presence as much as you think. We kind of just buffalo ourselves once in a while, like, yeah, I met with Jesus. Yeah, but did you come away with joy? In His presence is the fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Amen. Can you enjoy yourself in the Lord? Yes. Is worship a chore or is it a delight? Right. Can you revel in the adventure of walking with the Lord Jesus? Do you savor every single moment with Jesus? Now, I hear that word savor and I think, you know, I think a whole lot of you in this room know how to savor a really good cup of coffee. Yes. Oh, she says no. Well, how about a big, fat, thick chocolate brownie? Do you know how to savor one of those?
Oh, yeah. That too.
But do you savor the moments with Jesus? Yeah. And when we've got this mentality, well, that's a little boring. No, it doesn't need to be. Nope. We need to learn how to. We really have to train our brains, friends. Train our emotions how to respond to His glory. I skipped about three paragraphs, but I guess that's okay. Does your heart ever burst with joy just because of a word or a phrase or a thought that He ministers to your heart? Mm. Listen, if you don't get a big dose of hope every time you open the Word of God, something's missing. And I promise you, it's not on God's end. Steve Bachman's definition of joy is that it's the childlike wonder and excitement of working with God instead of for God. Did you know that wonder is actually a muscle We can build it, develop it, expand it just by using it, or we can let it shrink and atrophy, and there's nothing like wonder. Yeah, I got to see the Grand Canyon to have some wonder and some awe. Yeah? How about you just consider the love of God?
Amen.
How about you just think about His provision in your life? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have to train our brains and train our emotions how to respond to the glory of God. I was thinking about this, and I was remembering in the book of Revelation, John, I think it's right in the first chapter, I don't know if it's verse 12, verse 10, but it says that he heard this voice that sounded like a trumpet, and he turned. That's all he did, he just turned, and all of a sudden he gets this major revelation, the whole book of Revelation, just because he responded, just because he turned to hear the voice. That's actually what happened with Moses, too. Here he is, watching these sheep, probably a little boring. He was a responsible character, and he all of a sudden he sees this burning bush, and the Bible says he turned aside to see the burning bush. I mean, I dare you to start responding to the voice, to the sight, to something that might pop into your imagination. It might be from heaven, and you might get this major download, this big revelation from God Himself. Hallelujah. It's time we learn how to revel in this partnership, in this oneness of Christ in us.
Yes.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
So the second passage is from Luke chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says the angel appeared. First it was just one angel, and then an entire company of angels. But the first word was, "Don't be afraid. I have good tidings for you of mega joy."
Hallelujah.
Mega joy. Huge, enormous, we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some words we have in our English language, like megadose.
Yep.
What's that mean, nurses? It means what? Yeah, it's like it's way larger dose than what's normal. What were you going to say? All right. It's like way more than you're supposed to take. Well, as far as God's concerned, He wants us having mega joy. Or how about the word, what's the other one I was thinking of? Mega church. We're talking about what? Thousands instead of hundreds.
Yep.
Or the word megabyte. Ooh, you all know what that means, right? We're talking about a million bytes. A million. I mean, that's a whole lot of it. Hallelujah. Heaven was announcing, declaring to the world that enormous, huge, mega doses of joy were being released on the earth. Who's it for? A select few? No. For you. For you. Yeah, it's time we let the news out, right? Tell our friends and neighbors. I mean, as you know, depression and anxiety and the downcastness, the weariness, it's an epidemic right now. Not just in the world, but in the church.
Yeah.
We've got to get the good news out there. There is joy for everyone. Mega joy.
Yeah.
We already looked at Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I mean, this whole business of mega joy makes me think of, it's just not boredom, friends. It's excitement about life. It's celebration. Words like ridiculous joy, outrageous gladness. These should be phrases that describe you and me. Now, you know, don't you, that outrageous gladness is not even acceptable in religious circles. Like, it's not. Do you remember the anointing? Was it in the 70s where the laughter came into the church? I remember my my good religious friend. Well, maybe do some of you know Dr. Kanan? He just passed away, actually, in the last couple of weeks. He really did love the Lord. But he pulled me aside the one day after choir, and he showed me the Time magazine article. It was front page, wasn't it? Laughter breaking out in the big revival in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
And he said, "This is just not supposed to be happening." I mean, it's just not acceptable. I mean, after all, if we really understood how bad we were, how impossible it is to please God. Those are not true statements, by the way. But that's the way they think. But friends, we have been cleansed by the blood. Every trace of guilt and shame is gone. It's under the blood. Jesus actually became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. Let's learn to rejoice in the triumph that he accomplished for us at the cross. James 1:2 is another one that we see the word about joy. We're going to read it actually starting from the Passion. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. That's a different way to think about life, isn't it? For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. That's one of the miracles of joy, actually. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Power to endure all things. Can we go to the NIV? Consider it. Like it really has to do with our perspective. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Hallelujah. But let patience have her perfect work. I might not have given you that verse, but it's okay. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Like every gap, friend, is supposed to be filled with joy. Every gap in your life. Isaiah 35, verse 10. I originally had this whole passage of about six verses, but I had to get rid of a few things. So we're just going to look at verse 10 here. The ransomed of the Lord. Does that include anybody in the house?
Yes.
The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. We're talking about the kingdom realm.
Yeah.
With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Again, like I said, Zion is that kingdom realm. It's our new reality in Christ.
Yep. Amen.
Yes, our feet are on planet Earth, but our spirit man lives and abides. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So the everlasting joy is already on your head, friend. It's already there. It's already flowing. Let's see, where do I have that marvelous scripture? I just am dying to get to that one. So let's jump over there. Psalm 45, verse 7. This is a prophecy, a revelation the Lord gave to one of the psalmists. In regards to Jesus, you love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above all your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Some versions say the oil of gladness. I mean, I just love this verse so much because that oil is, it always flows downward, friends, right? It's not like it just flowed and it stays right there. Stop. It's only on Jesus.
Right.
No, it's flowing down.
Yeah.
Where are we? Aren't we in Christ?
Yes.
We're considered his hands and his feet. So that oil is flowing down.
Yeah.
The everlasting joy that's already on your head, it's flowing. We maybe should take our umbrellas down and let it flow.
Yep.
Yep. Just learn to yield to the great joy. Well, let's go to Romans 15:13. These are Paul's words here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy.
All joy.
I mean, we're talking about the maximum amount of joy that's possible out there, friends. Well, and please don't skip the next word, peace. Some of us could use a little peace. All joy, all peace, and it happens in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God is a God of hope. He's not a God of despair. He's not a God of hopelessness.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
It was one of the words for tonight, right? Hope. We're talking about the God of hope.
Amen.
He always has a solution, friend. He always has an answer. He is the answer. He is the way. He's the door itself. The source of all hope promises to fill us completely with all joy. Praise God. And it's all attached to this matter of believing. Some of the versions say trusting. It's all attached to trusting, to believing, and to attaching ourselves to this God of hope. You know, Kevin used to preach on this verse from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. The ESV puts it like this: return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Whew. What if, friend, we were so captive, so caught up in seeing like God sees, in thinking like God thinks, in believing what God says, that every single area of our life glistened with hope? Wow, wow, wow. Because when we start agreeing with God, that's the power of declarations, friends. I hope you make declarations. I hope you just take the word of the Lord and put it in personal pronouns and just speak it out loud. When you start agreeing with God, when you start declaring the same truths He declares, unbelievable joy will flood your heart. So let's read it back to Romans 15 in the Passion Translation. And I want to just stop for a moment because the very first word, again, is now. I mean, it's really a pretty important word because most of us in our subconscious have this idea that, well, okay, when all my kids are on fire for Jesus and serving the Lord, when my health gets there where I want it to be, when everything is going the right way on my job and my country is finally serving the Lord and in righteousness, when everybody in my family's doing what I want them to do, and we've got this list, hey, then I'll be radically happy. But that's not the plan of God. In fact, that's probably a little bit not going to happen, you know? That there's going to be a day or a week where everything is just the way you want it to be. No, we have to learn to rejoice right now. May God now, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. I mean, think about this fountain of hope. How high is yours? Is it this little trickle? Have you allowed it to get big, big, big to the point of overflowing? When people are around you, like when you walk into the room, is there a little more hope that walked in? A little more joy? Did the atmosphere shift when you walked into the room? It's supposed to, you know. Uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you what? As you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His superabundance until you radiate, radiate with hope. I was meditating on this last week, and the Lord reminded me of when I was a kid. Well, I grew up in Esteline from first grade to 10th grade, and the heat in our house was this radiator. I had this radiator in my bedroom. It was a big, tall thing, but it gave off heat. And it was like the Lord said, Debbie, I want hope to come out of your pores. I want there to be so much hope that it comes out of your pores, that people around you get touched with radical joy and tangible peace. And then He reminded me, I'm not talking about tomorrow, Debbie. I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about right now, this very hour. So we have one more scripture here in 1 Peter. Peter's words for joy. We'll start with the King James, whom having not seen you love, he's talking about Jesus, in whom though now you see him not. yet believing. How many of you have gotten to see the face of Christ? We get to imagine it. We get to see it in the Word, but we have not truly seen Him. And yet, we believe. And yet, we love Him. And yes, we rejoice with, look at this, I hope we're to this point, can we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let's look at NIV. You have not seen Him, and still you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Friends, as you read these phrases, I don't want you to keep thinking, well, that's not me. That could never be me. No, I want you to start using these words to express and talk about yourself. Even if it's a declaration by faith. Even if it's a declaration for 6 months before you start to see it manifest. Start declaring inexpressible and glorious joy is mine. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here's the Passion Bible. You love Him how? Passionately. Oh, you know, when I was talking about the coffee and the brownies earlier, I mean, some of you had big smiles on your face because, yeah, we know how to enjoy that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But we got to learn to let our spirit man also savor, revel, enjoy. Passionately love on Jesus.
Yeah.
Through believing in Him, you are, look at this phrase, will you? Saturated with ecstatic joy.
Yeah.
Whew. Indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. For you're reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, and your soul's victory. Now, friend, we're not going to ever pursue something unless we know it can be ours.
Amen.
And I'm hoping that I'm convincing you a little bit.
Yep.
Now, I know you're probably thinking to yourself, well, yeah, it's easy for her to say. Well, I wish you would have known me a few years back. Because I was very critical, very pessimistic. I had days on end where I was be sad and depressed. My sister, just within the year, said to me, "You're so happy, Debbie." You know, I mean, it was like shocking to her. When we climb up this mountain of joy, friends, we got to leave a few things behind.
Amen.
We got to leave offense behind.
Yep.
We got to leave pessimism and critical spirit behind.
Yep.
We got to leave anger.
Yep.
For me, the biggest thing I had to leave behind was disappointment.
Mm.
I don't know. Have you ever been disappointed in somebody? Somebody you love?
Yeah.
A leader? A co-worker?
Yeah.
A family member? Yeah, it's a choice we make, friends, actually.
Yeah. That's right.
Am I going to be disappointed, or am I going to learn to be a delighter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're not going to pursue something we don't know is ours, and I'm telling you, joy is yours. It's Christ in us. He's the hope of glory. That oil that I told you about, it's flowing downwards. If He's the vine and we're the branches, whatever flows in Jesus flows in us. And I'm telling you, ours is joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have to be like the world, fearful and troubled and depressed and downcast. I mean, what did David say? David turned to his soul and said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?"
Yep.
Come on, get with it. Hope in God.
That's right.
We got to talk to ourselves, friends.
That's right. Amen.
Our hearts can be at rest in His presence,
yeah,
rejoicing in His pure and extravagant love.
Yes, Lord.
Remember that last verse? There it is, saturated with an ecstatic joy.
Yeah.
Meditate on that a minute.
Whew.
Can you receive it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got just a few declarations for you. You ready?
Yep.
Join me now. Mine is pure joy.
Mine is pure joy.
Mega joy.
Mega.
Right now.
Right now.
I'm reveling in and celebrating uncontainable joy and perfect peace. My heart rejoices in God my Savior. I'm letting go of perfectionism. I'm letting go of offense. I'm letting go of pessimism and every critical spirit. I'm letting go of every disappointment in myself and in every other person, every other leader and friend and family member. I choose to believe that my every need is met in Christ. My every sin is under the blood. And Jesus finds great delight in me. Let's say that one again. Jesus finds great delight in me. And I delight in him. Father, we thank you that you're so worthy of our time, of our praise, of our worship, and we do choose to magnify you above every problem, above every disappointment. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that is our strength, that you're holding us up with your everlasting arms, that you're breathing your love, quickening us in our spirit man, even in our physical man. Every time we just sing for joy, every time we open the Word of God, energy is released to us and resurrection life is ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, bless your people. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And Lord, take every one of us up to the next level in this whole area of joy. Another level, Lord. You said you were going to be moving us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. And I declare and decree it's being done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be glad to agree with any of you in prayer that you'd like. Otherwise, have a great week. Try laughing a little.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you don't have to have a fun, funny movie. Sometimes you can just fake it. Did you know the brain study people say that if you fake it, your body can't tell the difference? Just fake it if you have to. Hallelujah. All right, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.